As I said, we're going to turn to another passage of Scripture. So jump over, if you would, to the book of Matthew in chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 has an addition to the walking on the water, and it talks about Peter walking on the water. And so we want to include that, think about that this morning as we think about the Lord Jesus walking on water. And as I was thinking about this, or thinking about what we could to do or get us all on the right heading this morning as we look into this passage of Scripture, I would like you to think for a second of somebody who is a hero in your life. Somebody that, you know, maybe as a young person, you know, maybe as a middle-aged person, maybe as an older person, somebody you look up to and say, you know, I like their characteristics, I like their qualities, I like the things that they're able to do, and you know, I'd really like to pattern my life after that, that particular person. And, you know, and we have lots of, different folks that we think of in that regard. I remember whenever I was young that, I always wanted to be able to play football like Bart Starr, because Bart Starr was a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, and the Green Bay Packers were a really good football team, and they were my football team at that point in time before I got converted to being a Steeler fan. And so I liked Bart Starr, and I thought, man, whenever I grow up, I want to be like Bart Starr and be able to, you know, and, you know, time goes by and you don't get big enough, you're not strong enough, you're not fast enough, you can't throw a football far enough, so you know that, you know, you're never going to be like Bart Starr, but, you know, he's sort of like that, you know, that hero kind of, you know, that kind of thing. And all of us, you know, depending on what kind of interest that we have, many of us have, you know, folks that we would like to be like them. We would like to have a you know, some of the qualities and characteristics that they have. And so as I was thinking about that this week, I was thinking to myself, you know, Peter is really one of those guys in the Scripture that is, you know, a hero kind of guy. And I know Peter gets a bad rap for a lot of things. You know, obviously he was the one who denied the Lord at the end, and he said a bunch of different things. But if you notice one thing about Peter, is Peter was always where the action was as you go through Scripture in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today is one of those, you know, sort of a mountaintop experience, I would call, for Peter, whenever he was there with the Lord Jesus, whenever he was walking on the water. And so I'd like to look at him as you know, sort of a hero in the faith, and maybe just sort of a picture of, you know, how do I stack up with Peter, or if I were Peter and I were in that same situation, what would I do? How will I handle it? What would be my my reactions, my actions in those kinds of things? So let's think about that as we go through the passage of Scripture. First of all, this morning we're talking about walking on the water, and so let's just do a real quick review. I realize that Al preached last week, and you can't remember 2 weeks ago because I had to go back, and I know you don't remember because I'm the guy that preached the sermon, and I had to go back and say, now what in the world did I talk about 2 weeks ago? You know, just that's just the way it is. You know, my memory is as long as my little finger with the extension already put on it. So, you know, I know that some of you suffer from that same malady, not all of you, but some of you do. And so did I talk long enough to get you to remember what we talking about last 2 weeks ago? No, I didn't think I was. So I will just review it. I will throw it up here. Ready? Jesus was testing his disciples. Remember, all of those people were there, and Jesus said, what are you going to give them to eat? And, you know, how are we going to feed them? You know, how much money do we need? And so he was testing them. You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed those people? And Jesus fed the 5,000. And you remember, you know, how many fish sandwiches we talked about, how many pounds of fish that we referred to, that if the 5,000 people ate, there were like 1,500 pounds of fish that were needed to feed all of those people. Then we talked about the problem with the disciples was that they looked at the situation of, you know, here are all these people, how am I going to feed them, as opposed to looking at the Savior and realizing that, you know, Jesus had the power to save them. And so we talked about how Andrew and the rest of the disciples, they all flunked the test. And so that's what we talked about a couple weeks ago whenever we were talking about the Lord feeding the 5,000. So now, right after the 5,000 have been fed, let's look at Matthew chapter number 14, and we're going to start reading at verse number 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a boat and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain privately to pray. And when evening was come, he was alone. And the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, and the winds were contrary." So Jesus told the disciples, you know, "You get in the boat, I'm going to send you to the other side." He stayed there, he continued to pray, and so the boat's now in the middle. In the passage of John, it talks about how they were rowing across the water, and they were like out and now in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And so you know, they're there and they're ready. And so the first thing I would like just to think about in regard to being like Peter, or Peter being our hero, is the fact of this. Sometimes you need to take a risk. Sometimes you need to take a risk in your Christian life. So let's look at what kind of a risk did Peter take? Okay. It says in verse 25, it says that the, let's see. Tossed by the waves. That's where I went. The boat was in the middle and it was tossed by the waves. The verse number 25. It says, "In the fourth watch of the night," and this is people speculate that this is probably between 4 and 6 o'clock in the morning. "The fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the water." Okay. Now, you can just imagine what was taking place. Here you are out in the water and you are rowing away. You're trying to get to the other side and the winds are blowing, and it talks about how the boat was being tossed. And so you get the picture here that, you know, if you've ever been out into to the water where it's, you know, the waters are rough, you realize when a boat is tossed, that means it's, you know, it's going up and down. You know, the waves are coming, the boat is going up and down. And so, you know, one, it's very difficult to row because sometimes you stick your oar in there and you pull it back and the water has gone down and, you know, you're not going anywhere. But, you know, you're struggling with this, and as you're rowing and you're trying to get to the other side, you look out and here's somebody walking on the water. Now, that's not the same thing as looking out the front door here, the front window, and seeing somebody walking down the street, right? What's the difference? People walk along the street, there's sidewalks for it. In the water, there's no one there. It's Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but this is one of the most amazing miracles, because thinking about, you know, the water going up and the water going down, the water going up and the water going down, the water going up, you know, how do you walk on something like that? I mean, even if it was solid, you know, if it was, you know, do you walk up over and down? Do you walk up and down? You know, how do you do that? Or is the part that you're walking on, does it stay straight and flat? Well, obviously we don't know because we weren't there, but, you know, you get the picture here of them being in the water going up, the water going down, and here comes Jesus walking on it. And the disciples, they took it like, you know, real men of God, right? They said, "Woo! Glory, hallelujah, you're here, Jesus. We've been waiting for you to come. We just assumed that you could walk faster and you would have gotten here earlier." Right? Is that what they said? No, they didn't say that at all. Notice what their response was. In verse number 26, it says, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost, and they cried out with fear." Now, what does that mean? "Ah, look at that, there's a ghost out there! there. You know, they're terrified. You know, what's going on here? You know, we've never seen anybody walking on the water before. And who is that guy out there? Oh, he looks creepy to me. I don't know what's going to happen here. And they realize it's, you know, they don't know who's Jesus. You know, they've never seen anybody walking on the water before. You know, this is a miracle that's taking place here. And so they cry out. They're afraid. They're, you know, they're just, you know, they don't know what to do. And so Jesus, and I always love it whenever disciples or, you know, Old Testament people, you know, God appears to them, they always say the same thing. Very, don't get excited. Calm down. It's okay. Don't be afraid. And you're, you know, your heart's going like this. You know, you can imagine a disciple saying, that's easy for you to say, but you know, we're the one that's been terrified. You know, we're the one that's been wrestling this boat all night. We're the one that's struggling with these things. And so Jesus says, be of good cheer. Be happy. You know, it's me. Don't be afraid. You know, everything's okay. And so Jesus walks out to them in the water and the disciples reacted with fear, but Jesus says, you know, don't be afraid. You know, calm down, relax. Everything's going to be okay. Don't get excited. It's going to be fine. And this amazing thing happens. Okay? Amazing thing. It says, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out onto the water. Now let's be real. How dumb is that? Why in the world would anybody want to walk out on the water like that? I mean, just give me 10 good reasons why you would, you know, why you'd like to walk on water. I mean, just, you know, and I'm saying to myself, if I were there, I'm, you know, hanging on to the side of the boat because, or, you know, however the size of the boat is, I'm hanging on to the side of the boat saying, come on, Jesus, quick, get in here before you start sinking kind of thing. And Peter comes up with this wonderful idea. Jesus, if you will just say something to me, if you will invite me, if you will bid me, if you will give me permission, I will come out there and I will walk on the water. And I will come walking right out there to you. Now again, remember what's taking place. The wind is blowing very hard. The boat is going up and down in the water. And somehow in this wind and the water sloshing around, Jesus and Peter are having this conversation. Now, one of the things I always wondered was how far away from the boat was he? You know, was he, you know, like from here to there? You know, from here to the pole, from here to the back door? You know, how far away was he? And obviously we don't know because that, you know, that plays into the fact of, you know, talking to him and having this conversation. But anyhow, he asked him, you know, Lord, if you'll give me permission, if you'll let me come, if you bid me to come unto you, I will come out there and walk on the water. Verse 29. It says, and he said to him, come. Now again, if it were me, I would want instructions. Well, how exactly do you do this walking on the water thing? You know, you have special sandals that you wear, or, you know, is there a certain place that, you know, you stand on the water and, you know, some place you go down and some place you don't go up? But notice what it says here, and this is just incredible, okay? It says, and he said, come, and when Peter was come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus, okay? Now this is, I've always found this an incredible thing. He comes down out of the boat. So that means that the boat is higher than the water, right? Okay? And again, the water is doing what again? Going up and down. The boat's going up and down. And I thought to myself, you know, isn't it interesting that, you know, maybe the boat is only about, you know, one step. And so you could sort of, you know, maybe hang on to one of the guys and you step down there. And where's the hard spot? You know, where do I land? Kind of thing. You know, do I go here? Or maybe it's up here. But you realize if you're clear up this high, and again, with a boat that's going to have 12 or 14 people in it, you know, that size, you're going to have some distance to you to get up. There's going to be a distance between the edge of the boat and the water. Okay? So that means what? How are you going to get from here to there? Usually boats don't come, unless you have a ski boat, they don't come with ladders down off the side because nobody's saying, well, you know, when you're halfway across, maybe you want to get out and walk the rest of the way. Okay? Nobody's ever going to say that. So why have a ladder? So that means that Peter's probably going to do what? He's going to have to jump. Can you imagine? standing in the safety of the boat, and you jump into the water. Because every time in Peter's life that he has jumped off the edge of the boat, what has happened to him? Right down in the water, right? How many of you have ever jumped off the side of the boat? How many of you have landed on something solid unless you were on the shore? None of us did. When we landed, we go right into the water. Now, you think about that for a second. The incredible risk that Peter took of getting out of that boat into the water so that he could now walk to Jesus. And so it says this in the passage of Scripture. He says, and he walked in the water to go towards Jesus. Okay, so Peter walked in the water, and Peter never known that he did not ask to take a step. He would never know if he didn't ask, right? Peter would have never known that he had the ability to walk on water if he wouldn't have asked Jesus for permission to be able to walk in water. If he didn't jump off the edge of the boat and land on the water. And, you know, what are we talking about here? We're talking about taking a risk. You know, we like to plan everything out, and we like to be comfortable in everything that we do, but that's not the way Peter lived his life. That was not the thing that Peter did. Peter said, you know, okay, I'm going to leave my fishing, and I'm going to follow after you, Jesus, the risk that he took. I'm going to do this. I'm going to, after the resurrection, I'm going to go and preach the gospel. We're taking a risk. Okay, and living by faith is taking a risk. You know, I remember back whenever my wife and I first got saved, one of the things that we were presented with was, giving of our tithes and offerings to the Lord. And I said to myself, I can't live if I take 10% of the income that we have and give it to, give it to God. There's no way that we're going to live. We're going to starve to death for sure. It's kind of going to happen. But you do what? You take a risk. You take a step. You know, got saved and somebody said, well, you need to tell other people how to get saved. You need to tell other people how to have everlasting life. And I said, well, if I do that, you know, what are they going to think about me? You know, what's their response going to be? You know, there might be people that punch me in the nose, and there might be people that never speak to me again, and there might be people that call the police and get after me for harassing them. All of these things might happen to me. But you do what? You have to take a risk to live out your Christian life. And again, I'm not talking about jumping out of an airplane with a parachute and saying, God save me. I'm talking about doing the things that God directs us, God tells us to do in His Word. You know, just, you know, think about the fact of forgiving somebody who wrongs you. That's taking a risk. A risk that they're going to do what? They're going to wrong you again. All of these kinds of things, living by faith, walking with God, we take risks all the time because, you know, life really is a risk. And so here we see Peter doing what? Jumping out of the boat, landing in the water, walking, hitting something that was a hard surface, and so he was able to walk forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of risks do you need to take? Because, you know, many times we get very comfortable in our relationships with God and the people around us and our situation. You know, what kind of risk, you know, what kind of things is God nudging you to do that are, you know, out of your comfort zone, that are things that you'd say, wow, you know, if I do this, you know, what could possibly happen there? And again, if you know it's from God, God's going to help you. God's going to direct you. God's going to provide for you. God's going to meet those needs, and God's going to use these risks that you take to do what? To make you grow. Stretch your faith. Mike's not here today, is he? He's probably hung over from playing golf all week, can't get out of bed. If you see Mike, tell him I said that he probably can't get out of bed from playing golf all week. But a couple of few years ago, Mike said, I want to go on the teen mission trip. And I said, sure, that'd be great. And he said, I said, if you go, you're going to have to share a devotional. And he said, well, I don't know. I'm not very good at those kind of things. I said, well, you know, you're one of the men going. You're one of the presenters of a devotional. And I said, I'll never forget that devotional. He said two sentences, started crying, and that was the end of the devotional. That was it. So this week we're down at the golf thing, and Mike's the devotion giver, as a PowerPoint and everything, and you know he's talking to people about the things of God and just stretching. You know, so if he'd ever said those two sentences and started crying, he'd never be at the place where he's can talk in front of folks and share the word. It's just stretching. That's what God wants us to do, and they're not necessarily big things, but. You know, God wants us to improve and grow in our relationship, you know, just like Peter did. And again, we're not talking to the extremes of Peter, but what's God want you to take a risk and do? I don't know. Let's go on. Second thing that we learn about our faith and our walking with God is this. Sometimes your faith fails. Because let's all face it, we are all failures, right? Regularly, failures. Sometimes moment by moment, failures. And when I talk about a failure, I'm talking about not failing the people around you, I'm talking about failing God. What do? We sin. We are sinners, okay? And so here is Peter. What takes place next, okay? Now think about this for a second. Here you are, you're walking on the water. And in the back of your mind, you're saying to yourself, look at those other guys. They didn't walk on the water. Look at me. I'm out here walking on the water. And maybe he's thinking that way. But as he's walking in the water, what happens? Gets a little scary for him, right? Peter walked in the water, and he was headed in the right direction. Where was he headed? He was walking in the, he says he came down, he was in the boat, and he walked to go to Jesus, okay? So he's walking, he's heading to, he's going in the right direction, you know, he's headed in the place he needs to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But what happens? He begins to look at his surroundings, okay? Now some people say that at this point in time, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. Now I don't know that that's necessarily true, because obviously he could be looking at Jesus and still see the waves going up and down, still see the wind that is blowing, and now he begins to struggle with the fact of, you know, what's going on, and so he begins to look at his surroundings. The wind being boisterous, you know, the waves that are going up and down, all things are taking place. Maybe he's saying to himself, well, how am I going to get back in the boat again? You know, how long is this hard water that I'm walking on? How long is this going to take place? And he begins to be afraid. Okay. He begins to struggle. He begins to have a hard time. He hasn't necessarily taken his eyes off the Lord, but he does what? He becomes afraid. Now, here's the thing that's really, really interesting in this. And he says, two things that are really interesting in this. It says, and when he saw the wind was boisterous, verse 30, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, isn't that interesting? Isn't that, I mean, just fantastic. You know, one was the miracle of walking on the water. Excuse me. The next was the miracle of beginning to sink. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, here's a guy, you know, say he weighs 150, 200 pounds, that if he began to sink, you know, he's in the water like that. Right? That's the way it's always happened to me, anyhow. Maybe I weigh more than him, though. Maybe I just go down faster. I don't know. But the point is that, you know, whenever you begin to sink, you know, it's not like you're in the boat and there's water coming into the boat and the boat slowly goes down. You know, you're just a human being. You're standing there. But in my mind, I have this picture of Peter slowly going down into the water. Miracle number two, right? Here he's slowly sinking down into the water, which gives him time to do what? Say, well, what am I going to do now? Kind of thing. But what was happening? Because he was fearful, because he was afraid, because he was, you know, looking at the situation, because he saw what was going on, what did he do? He became afraid, you know, became, you know, struggling with what was taking place. He was, began to have a struggle with these things. And the interesting thing is that the Lord knew that Peter was becoming afraid. Okay? Now, this speaks volumes to us, right? That if God knew what was going on in Peter's mind, because he's going to tell him in just a couple of moments, you know, oh, ye little faith, why did you become afraid? He knew what was going on because he saw that he was thinking, but, you know, he knew what he was thinking. Okay? So even in our failures, God recognizes our struggles in that. He recognizes that, you know, we don't really want to fail, but, you know, we yielded ourselves this way, or, you know, we decided we wanted to please ourselves in this way, or, you know, there are some pressures on us to do this, and so we succumbed to the pressure as opposed to doing what you wanted us to do, Lord, and I've sinned, and I'm sorry about that, and I'm upset about that, and God, you know, my heart is to please you, but, you know, sometimes I fail, and God recognizes that. He sees that, right? And that's why he put in the scriptures, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. How amazing is that? How fantastic is that? That the Lord says, if you mess up, you sin, you fail in your walk with me, you confess that to me, and I will clean you, I will wash you, I will make you pure again. I will restore you in your relationship with me, I will restore you in your fellowship with me. God knew that we were going to fail. He could see that. He knew it with Peter. He knew it with every single one of us. In fact, God knows the next time you're going to sin. He's not going to be surprised and say, oh boy, that Joanne Frazine, she's really been doing good for the last 3 minutes. But look out. Here it comes. You know, God's not fretful about those kinds of things. God understands those kinds of things, and he understands our failure. But he, in his love, he throws that out there. He says, you know, if you confess this, if you do that, if you confess your sins, then you can have forgiveness. So Peter began to sink. And so that brings us to the question is, in what areas of your faith are you failing? What part of your faith are you failing, that you're sinking in, you're struggling in, you're having a hard time with, you have sins, you know, maybe you have something going on with somebody else and you're holding a grudge, or maybe your thought life is just a wreck, or maybe you're looking at stuff on the computer or the TV that you shouldn't be looking at, maybe you're reading things that you shouldn't be, maybe you're having a thought life about something that's wrong. You know, what areas are you failing in your Christian life? Confess those things. Ask God, God, forgive me of this. God, give me the victory over these things. God, help me in my spiritual life, my walk with you. Change me, God. And then we see the third point that we learn from this wonderful miracle is that Jesus always saves us. And I'm not speaking here just of salvation, but let's look at the text here and see what happens. It says, in verse number 30, and when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, I don't think he used it in that tone of voice, right? When you're crying out to be saved, what do? I know there are a couple of you sleeping already, and I don't want to yell again and wake you up. So, how do you say it? You say, God, save me. You call out, you know, God help me, I'm drowning here, you know, I'm going down into the water and there's no hope for me, God save me. And that's what we need to do. Whenever we're failing in our Christian life, we call out to Jesus and say, Jesus save me. Now, some of us need to call out to Jesus to save us because we're lost. We've never put our faith and trust in Jesus as our personal Savior. All of our sins are still upon us. All of our iniquities are still there. The transgressions keep piling up every single day. And we've never had forgiveness of sin. We've never had this new life that only the Lord Jesus can do. And some of us need to call out to him and say, God, save my soul. I need to have everlasting life. I need to have that new life from you. And some of us need to do that. And you know what Jesus will do? He'll save you. He'll give you that new life. He'll give you that abundant life. He'll give you all the blessings that heaven has to offer if you call out to him and recognize who he is, that he is God who died on the cross, rose again from the dead so you can have everlasting life. He will save you. He will give you that. So Peter called out. He said, save me, which is always the right thing to do when we fail, right? It's always right to come to God when you fail. Now, we all remember whenever we were growing up that whenever we did something wrong, the last person in the world or the last two people in the world that we ever wanted to find out about this were Mom and Dad, right? Because we knew that Mom and Dad, they had the hand of punishment, right? They were the ones who were going to deliver us into, we thought, evil at that point in time. But their purpose of correcting us was so that we wouldn't do it again. But whenever we fail in our Christian life, you know, we could hide it from Mom and Dad. Probably every one of us in this room have things that we have done that Mom and Dad have never found out about, right? They went to their graves and they never knew this. And we were rejoicing over the fact that they never found out, right? But that's not so with God. Not so with God. He knows it all. He knows when we have failed. He knows when we have sinned. And we need to call out to Him and say, God, save me. And that's what Peter did. He says, God, he said, save me. Now, notice what happens after he called out to Him. He says, save me, forgive me, Jesus, help me, you know, with all those cries of help. And the Lord Jesus is always there to save us. What a wonderful blessing that is. Now, notice that Jesus not only saved him, but he also rebuked him. Okay, now think about this passage of scripture, ready? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and he caught him, and he said unto him, O ye of little faith. Now, I read this passage of scripture, and I say to myself, you know, if Peter was a man of little faith, then I am a person of microscopic faith. You know, it's just so small. I mean, it doesn't even register on the chart, right? That here's a guy that would, you know, say, you know, come up with the idea of, you know, I'd like to walk on the water. And then he jumps down out of the boat and he starts walking over to the Lord. And if he's the guy of little faith, you know, where's my faith? I would never come up with that idea. You know, I'm again back to, you know, white knuckled hanging onto the boat saying, you know, please Lord, get us to the shore before we all drown kind of thing. And here's Peter going out and talking to him. And so Jesus said to him, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And that's what we struggle with, right? Doubting the promises, doubting the word of God, doubting the directives of God, doubting the things that God says to us. It tells us all through the scripture. We struggle with doubting the truths, the promises, the encouragements that we get out of the word of God. And so he said to him, you know, why is it that you do that? Why do you doubt it? So he rebuked him. He says, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? What areas of your life are you doubting the Lord? Doubting the promises of God? Doubting the things that God has said to you and God has said to me all through the scriptures. What kind of doubts do you have in the truths of the Word of God? And if you have doubts, you need to abandon them. You need to say, you know, God has promised me this and I believe that, and God has promised me this and I believe that, and God has promised me this and I believe that. And belief is always followed by the actions of the person who is the believer. And since I believe this, Lord, you know, obviously Peter didn't say to Jesus, at least it's not in the text, whenever he said come, he didn't say to Jesus, are you sure? Am I going to be safe? Is it going to work out okay? You know, he said come, and he got off the boat. He believed the words of God, and he responded to him by walking on the water. And so let's make some application of our wonderful miracle that we talked about today. The first of all is, what risks do you take? You take spiritual risks to live out the truths of the Word of God. That's what God wants us to do. Because the living according to the scriptures, living according to the word of God, is not the normal life that everybody else lives. It deals with our finances. It deals with our attitudes. It deals with our relationship. It deals with the things that we do with our time. Our belief in the Lord affects all of those areas of our life. And we need to take risks in areas. What area is your faith failing? What kind of things in your life do you need to do to make changes? What areas are you struggling in? God wants you to get a victory over those things. And last of all, What doubts do you have about God? Let's pray. And nobody's looking around. Quietness of the moment, and maybe God has spoken to us this morning in a very specific way. And let me ask you question number one. What risks do you need to take? Or maybe a different way to say this is, do you have a risk you need to take? Maybe slip up your hand and we could pray for you. Say, Pastor, I have a risk I need to take in my spiritual life. Amen. Anyone else? Okay, good. Anyone else? Risk you need to take in your spiritual life. Okay. About an area your faith is failing. Pastor, I got an area my faith is failing, and I need to get that right. Anyone just want to slip up your hand and say, I need to make some changes there. Okay, good. Anyone else? Okay, good. Anyone else? How about areas that you have doubts? Slip up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I have some doubts in areas, and I need to deal with those. Okay, good. Anyone else? Okay, good. Our wonderful God and glorious Father, we thank you this day that you have instructed us in the things of your word. We thank you, God, that they are true. We thank you that they are accurate. We thank you that they match the way that we seek to live our lives after the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father, this morning for those that have a risk that they need to take. And God, you know what that is, and you want to help them to do that so that they can be stretched and grow and mature and develop in their relationship with you. And we pray, God, that you would help them with that. And God, there's others that have an area that they're failing in and need to have forgiveness of that, need to change attitudes or actions or directions. And God, again, you know what they are, and we pray that you'd help them with that and make those radical changes that they need to make. And God, we pray also for those folks that have doubts about things in their life, maybe the Word of God, doubts about practices that they're involved in. We just pray, God, that you again would work in hearts and lives and change us so that we could live a way that honors and glorifies you. For we love you and we praise you in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.